Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School. Thanks for joining us here at Solid Ground. And this week we're starting off a new study for 5 days. This week we will be talking about the transformed life of the Christian. And Pastor Brian starts us off today in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. And Pastor Brian, all this week we'll look at 25 exhortations that come primarily from this section of Scripture, Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Please turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 12. I do believe the Lord's wanting to do something in our hearts tonight. I just had like a horrible, frustrating day, and when that happens, usually the Lord does something good at church. And I just needed to come to church tonight and worship and pray and get my mind focused on the things of God. As we come to Romans chapter 12, it is interesting that some of the things that are found in the section we're going to be looking at will directly relate to reaching out to those in need. And so the Lord's timing is perfect. And we find ourselves at verse 9 of Romans chapter 12. We've just studied the gifts that are put into the body of Christ so the church could grow and experience the perfect will of God that we want to strive for and come to. But then now he switches more to the character of the individual. And for Christianity, it's not a choice between having the power of God's Spirit through the gifts and character. We need both of them. We need the gifts to be able to impact others, but we also need the character so that people will have respect, they'll see a difference within us, and we will win that opportunity as we share the gospel with others. They'll see something different within us. It will not be a hypocrisy, but there will be something of sincerity that they see within our lives. And also, obviously, the Lord wants to develop the gifts in us as well as the nature of Jesus Christ. And we're going to try and work through verses 9 through 21 tonight. And basically, what there are is all these small little exhortations. And I've listed about 25 of them. Some I've put together, some can be separated. So there's at least 25 different exhortations found in this section. And I'm going to just read them off and make some comments on them, like the Apostle Paul, kind of like a machine gun effect. Just got to hit, one of these bullets has to hit one of you. One of these 25 needs to penetrate the hearts. And then we'll see how the Lord works in us in that. But let's just get right into these 25 exhortations, where the first one, Paul says in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. And it may be that the rest of the chapter through verse 21 relates to really what love is all about. And here it starts, let it be in sincerity, let it not be fake, let it not be false. Obviously, as you read through the Bible, love is one of the main characteristics of God and should be within our life as well. And he says, now don't pretend. And I don't know what would cause someone to pretend to love somebody else. It would be a matter of their own heart being corrupt, maybe their own heart having some animosity in them, and they put this nice Christian smile, and hey, brother, sister, and really inside the hearts, they're mad and upset. And so Paul says, you know, don't put on an act, don't put on a show. Let there be a sincerity of love. And the bottom line, when we discuss love, we never have enough love in the body of Christ. We could always have room for more. We aren't as loving as we need to be. We could always grow in this area of love. And so here he says, make sure it's not in a hypocritical way. The second one, he says, abhor what is evil. That's a pretty strong word, to hate what is evil. And as I look at that little exhortation, that really is a safeguard from sin. When we start seeing sin as something, well, it's not that bad, or something that we'd tolerate within our life, something that we're no longer repulsed about or would regret. That's when we allow sin to come into our life and we tolerate it and we try and coexist with it. But if you hate something, you're going to try and flee from it and get it out of your life as quickly as you possibly can. And that's a perspective that we need to have on anything that is evil, to despise it, to hate it. I think of Joseph when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. He says, how could I do this great wickedness, this sin, before God? God's been so good to me. My master has. He's blessed me with everything in the household. So God's been gracious, and plus, I'm not going to do this evil that you're suggesting. And it's kind of interesting here that he first starts with love, because sometimes people think love throws away any sort of hatred towards that which is evil or some sort of discernment on what is wrong. It's not loving. Love is not just an emotion that kind of comes out of the hearts. Love will also hate that which is evil. And I believe we need to strengthen that in our own hearts. It's a built-in protection for our life. And if you don't hate that sin in your life, then it's just going to continue to grow and tolerate. And see, we come to the point where we think, well, I'll get around to that later. The problem is, you know what the best time to deal with sin is? Is right now. Because if we tolerate that sin in our heart, the Bible says sin is deceptive, and it starts deluding us and deceiving us, and we don't see it how evil it is, and that's how we go from one sin deeper and deeper into that sin, and eventually we're consumed by it. And then when that sin is exposed, we're like, how did that happen? How did I get so far into that action? I can't believe it. And when we come to our senses, we really see, oh, that was a foolish thing. So don't be deceived in thinking that next week, next Wednesday is when I'll deal with that sin, or after church on Sunday. No, right now is the time to turn from things. Because right now your heart is most resistant to that area. And it's not one more time I'll sin, then I'll get over it. That leads to bond. The Bible says the person that sins is a slave to sin. And we need to hate those things. We need to hate the things that God hates. And that is something that protects us. I think hatred also would lead to a shame, you know, an embarrassment, a shame over the things that are happening in our society. What begins to happen as society grows more and more evil and corrupt, sometimes we're in that, we get a little more deluded and we don't quite see evil for what it is because it's just all around us. We get kind of comfortable with it. And the Bible later in the book of Romans does say, be naive towards what is evil. And if you are naive towards sin, when you hear about it, there is some sort of response like, I can't believe people would do such things. But when we watch it on TV in front of our eyes and we're kind of absorbed by it, we start just kind of mellowing out on it. We don't really hate it. We're kind of tolerating it. Although we say, well, I wouldn't do those things. We allow it to come into our home. And just kind of softens the sensitivity that we have towards the things that are spiritual. And I've shared with you enough before. Our house is not a house where we watch a lot of TV. Our kids don't have access to the TV. They don't come in and turn it on whenever they want. Because there's a lot of just stuff that is on there that is just worthless, and then a lot of it is just evil. I don't want them to just be absorbing that in, and I believe that has kept my children to a degree naive towards sinful things. And so when they hear something, they can't even relate to it. They don't even understand it. That's where I want them to be. And I think it's foolish for people to say, well, you know, you have to expose your kids to the world, don't you? You read that in the Bible? I mean, is that biblical? Yeah, put your kids out there in the sinful environment and expose them to it, and that's how they're going to learn to resist sin. It's better to have never tasted of that sin. When you are exposed to it and you taste of that sin, that's what leads to bondage and corruption, not being away from it. And so people are saying, you know, you can't shelter your kids, and to a degree that's true. But to a degree the Bible says to shelter them, to keep evil away from them, keep them naive. And that is a safeguard. And when we're naive towards it, when we hear something about it, there is kind of like, that's sick. You know, people don't say that any longer. Nothing is sick to anybody any longer. Because we've just kind of been deadened, our conscience, been deadened to things that are just horrible and ugly. Sin is an ugly, destructive force. And we need to hate it. And that's a safeguard that's built into us. Now, the third one, Christianity is not just reacting towards something that is evil. Bad, bad, bad. Don't do this, don't do that. Because then he goes on, the third one says, cling to what is good. So it's not just a bunch of rules and commands. It's also doing what is right. Clinging on to it. Literally, it means to be glued to. That's where our life should be. We should flee from what's evil, cling to what is good. Obviously, in the lifestyle. That's what should be happening within our lives. And if it's not, then the Lord brought us here to deal with it tonight. There's an area of sin that we are allowing, that we're not despising or hating or abhorring any longer. We need to flee from that, ask God to change our hearts, and cling on to what is right. What is the correct action? What is the correct characteristic that should be within my heart? So I try and bring a balance. You know, I think this would be a good time to mention Halloween. I think Halloween's an evil thing. I mean, if you, I like to describe it this way. If you were from another planet, and hopefully you don't think you are tonight, but if you were, and you came to this planet on October the 31st, and you just kind of observed, what are these people about? What's their culture like? And someone tried to explain Halloween. Oh, you mean you dress your kids up in evil costumes, goblins and ghouls and, you know, dark things, and you send them out? They wouldn't be able to relate to that. But see, we just, it's kind of a nice holiday that we have in our society. And see, I, as a church, as a pastor, I don't want to say bad, bad, bad Halloween. Lock your door, turn off the lights, don't give out any candy. I don't think that's it. I think our response is, let's do something that's wholesome. Let's do something that's full of light. Let's do something to bless the children that's in a safe environment, that'll be fun, as well as along with using as an opportunity to preach the gospel. So I think that's fleeing from something that's dark, but then saying, hey, this is a good thing. Let's minister to the life of these kids. Let's bring them off the streets. And as I drive around the communities, more and more churches are doing this. They're all over the place. And more parents that aren't even believers, they don't want their kids out on the streets that night. They're bringing them to the churches, and hopefully they're hearing the gospel. So again, it's not just don't do this. It's, hey, here's a better alternative, because Christianity is life.